I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Drama on News Talk.
Now on documentary and drama on News Talk, a new murder mystery drama by Emily Gilmore Murphy. This is Apres. A warning that strong language is featured in this drama, as well as themes of violence and coercive control.
Hello? Hello? I'm sorry. Oh my God.
You.
Babe, you're here.
Don't babe me, you pathetic excuse for a man.
I'm so glad you're here. You're here. You're okay. Oh, Lee, my darling.
Don't try and sweet talk me.
No, I know why. I can understand your anger.
What? You just ditched me. You just left me alone in the middle of the fucking mountains.
You needed to cool down. We both did.
You just left your wife to fend for herself in the fucking wilderness?
Lee, darling.
What?
I'm sorry, but I mean it is Val d'Isère, not Everest.
What? I'm sorry. Of course it's acceptable to abandon your spouse on a dangerous ski slope if it's in a posh ski resort.
So you haven't cooled down yet?
I am this close. Yes. I swear.
I'm sorry. Really, I'm sorry. Lee, I fucked up.
Yeah, you did.
You should take off your jacket.
What? I'm cold.
It's wet. You'll warm up quicker without it.
Fine.
Let me get you a drink.
Glue wine.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. Why did we pick this place?
Huh?
This cabin.
You picked it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. I wanted to stay in the hotel in the village, remember?
Oh, yeah. The flashy, pretentious, overpriced hotel. That's what you wanted.
I
remember now.
To pay.
Yeah, I don't really need big shot podcaster Baz Miller to pay for me.
What about a husband simply treating his wife?
A Victorian. Yeah, so I picked this place,
you
did
said
I?
It was authentic, rustic. Don't you remember?
Yeah, my memory is frozen along with the rest of my body.
I'll get you another glass.
Yeah, I shouldn't have any more.
It'll warm your bones.
Thanks.
The damn window has been flying open all night. I'm definitely giving this place a crappy review.
There's just nothing around but snow and trees.
Just what you wanted.
Maybe. What's what you wanted?
What? You say the oddest things sometimes.
You didn't lock it. The window.
I forgot.
Anything could get in?
I know. I'm sorry.
I know you were.
I love you.
Yeah. Love you too.
You impress me.
Compliments will not get you far.
I mean it. Your anger. It's a force to be reckoned with, and yet you can turn it off just like that.
Oh no, don't you worry. The anger is definitely still there. I just have good self-control.
Not a blessing everyone possesses. I mean it. The day we met, at that small coffee shop just outside college.
Yeah, don't rile me up now.
But that's the thing. You didn't get riled, you got even.
I have an oat chai for a Baz.
Oh, that's me, thanks.
And a cappuccino for...
That's mine, thank you. I'm so sorry. Isabel, isn't it? That's actually only lukewarm. Could you heat it up a little bit for me?
No problem.
Thanks so much. I should have said I wanted it extra hot when
it's
I ordered.
It's really no problem. It'll just be a moment.
Okay.
Is it an extra hot kind of day? Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I didn't actually mean that to come across quite so...
Dirty?
Ooh, I was going to say odd, but now... Dirty. Yeah, completely stuck in my head and I'm mortified. Thank you.
Hey, you there. Where's my coffee?
Just one moment, sir.
I recognise you.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I have to go.
Yeah, I've seen you in college, haven't I? You're always reading. Yes, I think it was Picture of Dorian Gray last time. I only noticed because Wilde's one of my favourites.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've only just started, but yeah, it's really good so far.
You're in for a treat. It gets so much better.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. I'm going to be late for work.
I apologise. We're just a bit backed up.
You need to move your ass then.
Hey. I'm sorry. You can't talk to her like that. Also, she has a name. See, it's Isabel. It's right there in her tag.
I paid for that coffee.
Yeah, you paid for a coffee. You didn't pay to bully a barista.
Fuck this.
Sorry about that. I was a bit...
Can I buy you a drink? It's nice.
Yeah? Okay, one drink.
What the f...
You and your nerves. They're just avalanche bombs. Controlled explosions to cause small avalanches to prevent larger avalanches. You know that.
I know. I feel like controlled and explosions aren't really two words that go together. Also, what's to stop one of these small avalanches escalating into a bigger one?
Well, I don't know. That fight, our fight on the mountain, how long ago was that?
A while. I'm not completely sure, to be honest.
Is there a clock in this place? Something to tell the time?
No, I don't think so. B&B host seems to have only left the bare essentials. You're probably hungry.
I'm fine.
I think we have strudel or schnitzel.
Oh, yeah, I'd kill for strudel.
I'm coming right up my belle vein.
Oh, God.
What? Well, I mean it as a compliment.
It's sleazy.
Well, don't hold back, so.
Well, it's not like you ever hold back. On your podcast, I mean, you know, you're always going hard.
Can't I be charming?
Only when needed. But usually you go straight for the jugular.
Welcome back to Are You a Bad Person? I'm your host Baz, and sitting across from me is the infamous Emma Delaney. Right, Emma, I think we should skip the small talk here and dive head in. Did you kill your husband?
Oh, wow. I didn't expect...
I'm not a foreplay kind of guy, Emma.
Your poor wife.
Quite to the contrary, straight to the action. That's what my wife has taught me, and I'm smart enough to know, always listen to my wife.
Not a quality that every man possesses. I'd like to say now, I didn't come here to defend myself.
But you did come here, Emma. I think you and I should be frank with our listeners. You contacted me because your late husband's powerful family has blacklisted you from speaking with any legitimate news agents. So you reach out to me with my millions of subscribers because... why?
Before I start, I must make it clear that I loved my husband. Deeply. Insatiably. Madly. But...
but?
But I'm not sure love should make you go mad. Should it?
The way you got Emma to confess to killing her husband, you made her feel like you understood her, that you would have done the same. You lied to her.
People like being lied to.
I don't.
No, you don't. That's why I fell in love with you. And I know why you fell in love with me.
Do you?
My ambition, my drive to always do better, to always want more than I have. Am I wrong?
Very. Huh. Jesus. Yeah, sure, I like those things about you. They're interesting, but like, that's not why I fell in love with you.
Okay, fine. Tell me then.
No. Don't want to right now.
Window keeps opening!
You must have forgotten.
No, I didn't.
It's okay. I've locked it now.
I didn't pick this place. This cabin. I didn't pick it. Yeah, it was booked under my name, my account, because you asked me to, but you picked it, not me.
No. No. I wanted to stay in the hotel, remember?
You picked it, not me. You like people to think that I wear the pants in this relationship, that I make the decisions, that I boss you around, that I'm some bitch.
I don't. Lee, I'm so sorry. I was mad, I'll admit that.
Mad? Those notes, are they your latest project?
Kind of. I'm revisiting the Kim Elliott case.
What?
Yeah. The case that made Are You a Bad Person go viral. You could say I owe Kim my whole career.
You could more than say that. You could guarantee it. You ever thought this was a holiday?
Part holiday, part research.
You've never revisited a case before, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't. I don't normally like going back over things again, but there's been developments.
What kind of developments? Tell me. Please.
It's bitter out there.
Worst winter we've had in a decade. Makes it miserably hard for preparing the pieces.
I really appreciate you meeting me. I know you're very busy this time of year.
I've only got 20 minutes before I have to go back up into the snowplow.
20 minutes is all I need.
And this is all off the record? Because if the boss thinks I've been gossiping, I could lose my job.
Completely anonymous. This meeting is merely to gather info. Nothing will be used on the podcast without your written consent.
Right, how do we start?
Well, as we've agreed no names, can you instead tell me what your job is? Or more relevantly, what your job was at the time of Kim's disappearance?
So, yeah, I didn't drive the peace bashers back then. I operated the lifts. On the day she went missing, I was working the panorama lift, which some people used to get back down to the town at the end of the day. But she was heading up.
Is that unusual, to head up when the pieces are closing?
Not really. It's an expensive hobby, skiing. People like to squeeze every last second out of their day.
What did you notice about the woman? Was she acting strange?
Yeah, I suppose you can say she was. She paused getting on the lift, which might not seem that strange to others, but you gotta remember, it was the end of the day. The lift was closing in mere minutes. If she had somewhere to be, to go, then she was kind of real tight. But still, she paused at least for a full minute, watching empty gondolas pass her by. It was like she hadn't decided yet.
Decided what?
I wish I knew.
But she did eventually get on the lift, going up the mountain?
Yes.
And that was the last time anyone's seen her alive.
So what happened to Kim? After she was seen at the ski lift?
I don't know. All I have right now is rumours.
Did you hear that?
What?
It's like Someone's trying to tell us something.
The glue wine hitting you already, I see.
She could have run off, Kim. I mean, started a new life somewhere abroad.
Possibly.
Is there a boyfriend? Girlfriend?
A husband.
You need to talk to him, so.
I can't. Seems to have gone off the grid since it all happened.
Well, there you go. It's always the partner.
Isn't that just a bit too obvious?
Well, man's biggest fear is a woman laughing at him. Woman's biggest fear is a man killing her.
I don't know. I just think there could be more to it all, that it's just a bit more complicated than that. I just can't let this one go. Not yet. Maybe it's sentimentality.
Have you recorded anything yet?
An intro.
Can I hear it?
Your wish is my command.
Kim Elliott, the woman at the center of this mysterious disappearance in the French Alps, was born in 1989 in Wicklow. She was born into privilege and comfort. The youngest of four girls, Kim was doted on. Her childhood full of happiness and empty of worry. She was active and outdoorsy, loved animals, especially dogs. But strangely, this is not the first time Kim went missing. In 2006, at the age of 15, Kim went walking in her local woods with the family Labrador, Wallace. After 2 hours, Wallace trotted home without Kim.
Surely she wouldn't have left the dog.
A missing 15-year-old girl. As you can imagine, panic ensued. Guards were called, search parties formed, but no sign of her. Missing for 52 hours in total. In the end, she wasn't found, but returned. She just walked home, covered in dirt and leaves, looking like a creature of the woods.
She had never left the woods.
On her left temple, she had a deep, open wound. Confused and severely dehydrated, she was taken to hospital immediately. But even after recovering, Kim had no memory of the 2.5 days she was missing. It was decided that she must have fallen and hit her head against a rock, suffered a concussion, and wandered aimlessly further and further into the woods, until eventually her concussion subsided. Subsided enough for her to find her way home. But Kim was convinced that something much darker, much more sinister had happened to her. Someone had taken her.
Poor girl.
At 18, the age of freedom...
That's enough.
It's safe.
I just mean it's a sad story. I don't want to hear any more.
Okay.
I can see why you've been thinking about it again.
Sometimes I imagine her appearing again, just like she did at 15. Walking out from the snowy trees, confused but unharmed. Like a creature that's just woken up from hibernation. Wouldn't that be something? What?
Don't be stupid, Buzz.
What? It happened before.
Yeah, in the Wicklow Mountains after a little more than 2 days. She's gone, what, a year now? Disappeared in the harsh, freezing temperatures of the Alps? Look, it's a nice story, but let's be fucking real here. The girl's dead.
That bloody lock on the window must be broken. I'm seriously considering asking for a refund.
What time is it?
I don't know.
Oh, fucking hell.
What is wrong with you?
I hate those things. I hate those explosions. Why are they doing
that? I told you to prevent...
Avalanches, yeah, fine, fuck, I fucking get it, yes. I still hate them.
Look, stop. Stop pacing. Come here, just come here. Come and sit with me. Relax. I'll... Here, let me rub your shoulders.
How are you so good at that?
My touch is magic.
You could have been a massage therapist.
That would have definitely been a strange evolution from a career in law.
Massage therapists are sexy.
Oh, and lawyers aren't.
No, they are. It's a different way. Lawyers are sexy in a dominatrix kind of way. They're the fucking boss, and we all know it. While massage therapists are more sultry, soft.
See, all your fantasies are coming out now, Pat.
The truth of the matter, Lee, is that I've always desired you. In your bad bitch moments and in your soft, vulnerable ones too.
Yeah. I know. Did you know there was a time when I was scared that you wouldn't want me when you were unemployed, you know? Before Are You a Bad Person had taken off. I thought you'd feel emasculated by me.
No. I just wanted to succeed for you and with you. When you gave me the money to start Are You a Bad Person, I was so afraid I was going to let you down. Oh, well, that's it, isn't it? You fell in love with me because I loved you for your great success, not in spite of it.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh, come on, that has to be it.
No, that's a nice thought.
But still wrong.
Yeah, still wrong.
I will get this. I will figure it out. The avalanche bombs have stopped.
The wind's picked up. Maybe they can't do them when the weather gets bad.
Do you think a storm is on the way?
Yeah, feels like it. Always reminds me of our wedding.
What a disaster.
Storm Ophelia, the worst storm Ireland has seen in 50 years.
And the bastards wouldn't even give us any of our money back. Yeah. Despite most of our guests not even being able to get them. A disaster of a day.
Yeah, it was a mess, but it was also perfect. The wedding itself, a moment of calm and serenity in never-ending chaos.
Hello. I was going to say everyone, but that seems redundant when it would take me less than 30 seconds to name the small number of people who managed to get here today. So instead, I'll say hello to the few who didn't get trapped into their homes by fallen trees. You are the truest of survivalists. I considered not bothering giving a speech after everything that had gone wrong, but it is I and Lee's wedding day, and some traditions are sacred. So here I go.
I had planned to tell a story today, the story of Lee and I, falling in love as young broke students, going on our first date to that wonderful Italian that has since closed due to money laundering. The first fight, my fault, of course. The first makeup, my charming grovelling. The troubles and the joys in between. I wanted to tell it all because I am a storyteller, if nothing else. But as I stand here, I realise it isn't about the story we've already lived, it's about the story that's to come. And as long as my story ends with you, Lee, then I know I've done something right. I love you.
You're listening to APRI on Documentary and Drama on News Talk. This is Documentary and Drama on News Talk. You're listening to APRI. A reminder that strong language is featured in this drama, as well as themes of violence and coercive control.
I shouldn't drink anymore.
One more glass. It'll make you feel better.
So what else have you learned about Kim?
I thought you didn't want to hear about it.
Well, call me curious.
Okay, but you asked for it.
At 18, the age of freedom. It's safe to say that Kim's childhood had ended in those mysterious woods. Kim would spend the rest of her life looking over her shoulder, waiting for whomever or whatever took her before to take her again. But despite the traumatic disappearance and reemergence, Kim was desperate to explore the world around her. And by world, I mean Dublin city centre. Trinity College Dublin, a place to learn, to experiment, to grow.
A place to drink and take drugs while acting pretentious and woke.
But most importantly to Kim, a place where she wasn't the disappearing girl. But that had been too much to hope for. The story had gone further than local gossipers. The legend had a life of its own now. Online, you could find endless theories of what happened to Kim. Theories of alien abduction, cult ceremonies, Satan worshippers. But the story that most believed was that she had made it all up. Wounded herself, all in the name of wanting more attention.
Oh, yeah. Of course, if a woman is assaulted, it's always her own doing, because we're all desperate for attention.
Kim kept her head down, pretending to not hear the whispers or see the strange stares as she walked by. She was desperate for someone to believe her fears. Tragically, she got her wish when she discovered a mysterious box at the door of her digs. It was a doll. A doll of her, in fact. Hand-stitched and designed with sadistic care. It came with a note. This is for what I did. I'm sorry. No one thought Kim was doing it for attention after that.
So fucked up.
Very.
You didn't really talk about the doll the first time with Kim.
Mm.
I mean, you mentioned it in that first episode, but it felt more like a footnote than a plot point.
It feels more relevant this time.
Why?
Before, the doll seemed like an interesting anecdote, something worth mentioning but not relevant to the overall plot. But now, I think it might be the start of something.
Can you hear that?
Hear what?
Do you love her?
What?
Do you love her?
Love her? As in Kim? She's a story.
Alice, your sound designer. Do you love her?
Okay, Alice, I'm going to go for one. Okay.
Death and deception followed by deviance and disaster.
Do you want to try that again?
Yes, Alice, thanks. Death and deception followed by deviance and death and deception. Oh, for sake, sorry.
It's fine. Go again.
Death and deception followed
It's all the D's, one after another. Maybe we should edit the script.
No, the fucking alliteration is what makes it sound fucking good.
Sorry, Alice, I shouldn't say fucking while we're recording.
I don't mind. In fact, I don't think we use the word fucking nearly enough in this podcast. You killed your wife. Fucking hell. They found the body in the woods. Fucking fantastic. When does more fucking not improve something?
I see your point. Look, I already know we're over time, but I need a break. I'm just going to pop to the pub for 20 minutes. Quick drink, just to relax, and then I'll be right as rain. Is that okay with you?
Do you want some company?
Yeah. Yeah. Company sounds great.
So do you love her?
Lee.
It's a simple question, Baz.
No.
Then why did you do it?
Because it was easy.
And I'm not.
Yeah, no. It's over.
I saw the dates on the emails. You were making plans to meet her again.
To end it. I want to meet her so I can end it.
I thought it was already over.
It will be.
You were just so full of shit. You're so full of shit. You know, people have said that to me before. Friends, family, they said to me that your real talent is how well you tell a story, you know? How well you can lie. And I always thought, no, they don't know him. Not like I do. And it turns out I knew fucking nothing.
Lee, I wouldn't lie to you.
Stop it. Don't you ever say those words to me again. I mean it.
Lee.
I will admit, fine, your affair doesn't mean you love Alice. I'll even admit your affair doesn't mean you don't love me, but the one thing it does mean, the one thing that is certain in this whole fucked up situation, is that you would lie to me, and you did lie to me. So don't you ever say you wouldn't lie to me again. Because if you do, I swear to fucking God, Baz, I will end you. Okay? Did you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I fucking heard you.
How many times did you fuck her?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
How many times?
I don't know. Too many times, all right?
Did you make her promises?
Promises? What does that even mean?
Reasons to convince her that continuing to fuck her married boss wasn't a bad idea. That's what I mean by promises. So did you?
Yes.
Tell me. Tell me, or I swear to God
I would leave you and marry her. Okay? Jesus fucking Christ, Lee. You can't ever just leave it alone, can you? It's like a fucking scab. And you just scratch and scratch and scratch until it's a massive fucking bloody mess. I didn't mean any of it. Any of it. I was lying to her. I said it because she... I said it because she was pregnant.
What?
I would never leave you.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
Because you love me? Or because I own half of Are You a Bad Person?
No. Don't say that.
If you tried to divorce me, you would lose it. Your podcast. Your success. You try to buy back your half of the rights. You have more than enough money now, but I wouldn't sell it to you. You know I wouldn't. I would hold on to my half. Out of spite. Out of revenge.
Stop.
And I reckon I could probably convince Alice to turn on you too, you know? Don't forget that she was your employee the whole time. You were fucking her the whole time you made... That was abuse of power, Baz. She has rights, and I would make sure that she knew them.
Lee?
Do you think you'd have much luck starting a new podcast with a sexual misconduct case looming over you, draining all your time and fucking money?
Shut up!
Yeah, you wouldn't leave me, Baz. We can be sure of that. So what was the fucking plan then?
I said, shut up! I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have thrown the...
You could have hurt me.
No.
You grabbed that straight out of my hand. You could have hurt me.
I wasn't trying to... Let me get you another glass.
It doesn't matter.
nothing fucking matters now. Because of what you've done. You get that, right?
Oh my god.
Baz.
Oh fuck. Oh fuck!
It's probably just another controlled avalanche.
No! No!
It'll pass. It'll pass.
No,
sure of it.
No, you're wrong. Can't you hear it? Feel it? No, that thing is completely out of fucking control! Lee. Lee, are you there? Fuck, Lee. Lee, are you okay? I can't fucking see anything. The power must have gone. Lee!
I'm here.
Are you hurt?
I'm here. I'm here. That was real.
It was an avalanche.
I didn't expect it to be real.
I think I knocked out the power. I'll light a candle.
What do we do now?
I think we just stay here and wait. Wait until it all passes.
But what if the damage is already done?
I know you must hate me.
I never hated you. Never. But it's clear you hated me.
What? No. I love you.
It's the only thing that makes any sense.
Can I kiss you?
Baz.
Please. I miss kissing you.
I know you do.
Is that why you love me? I miss you always, even when you're right next to me.
We need to get out of here. I want to get out.
But we can't. We're trapped. Everything is closed in on us. There's no way out.
What are you talking about?
The avalanche. We can't get out. There's snow all up the door.
There's no snow.
I don't understand.
You were always able to get out. Well, are you coming?
I don't know. Lee?
You're going to come with me.
I am?
Yes.
Why?
Because you haven't told her story yet. Come on, Baz. Can't stay stuck in this place forever.
I need you to know that I regret it.
What happened to Kim? Why are you looking at her story again? What didn't you say the first time?
I didn't give her an ending.
I want to hear her ending.
I know. Not here.
What's wrong with
here? Not here. Let's go somewhere else.
But what's wrong with here? I think it's kind of pretty, you know? The trees, the darkness, the deep... deep snow?
No. No, it's cold and ugly and it's violent. Bad things have happened here.
Bad things?
Let's just move on, okay?
You're avoiding talking about her.
I'm not.
Then tell me about
her. Not here.
Why not here?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You always have to get your way. Do I always have to argue my side? For once, can't we just do what I want because I want it? Why is that funny?
It's funny because you always get your way.
Now, you're just being ridiculous.
You got your way with me, you got your way with Alice.
I don't want to talk about Alice anymore.
Then tell me about Kim.
Fine, okay. Fine. Kim's quiet. And some mistook her quiet nature for timidness, but there was nothing timid about Kim. Her mother described her loyal to a fault. She wasn't an easy person to get close to, but when you did, she'd fight tooth and nail for you.
Sounds like someone you'd want as a friend.
Yes, but even more than that, you didn't want her as an enemy. There was an incident in college once. Kim entered another student's dorms in the dead of night and threatened him with a knife. The student in question had been sending Kim graphic and overtly sexual text messages. The final straw had been when he threatened to kidnap her again for his own pleasures.
Did that actually happen?
It isn't clear. Kim never reported the texts and No student ever reported a home invasion involving Kim.
So it was just a rumor?
Rumors aren't always just rumors.
Well, whether it's true or not, it sounds like the student had it coming, you know? Harassing Kim like that?
Maybe, but some saw Kim as the bully too.
You know why that boy probably didn't report the invasion? Not because it didn't happen, it's because of the text that he sent. He knew that they were... And maybe deep down he knew that he deserved to be threatened. Maybe he even wanted to be.
That's dark even for you.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, you know, it wasn't even her idea.
That's besides the point. What did you say?
It wasn't Kim's idea, was it?
How did you know that?
You must have mentioned it in the first episode about Kim.
I didn't.
Well, then you told me. Didn't you?
I never told you that. I don't understand.
You told me to do it, didn't you? That if I didn't want to be afraid, then others needed to fear me.
I don't understand.
You will. Soon. Look at this, over here.
You don't love me.
It's a snow shovel. I wonder how that got out here.
That's why I can't figure out why. Because it isn't actually a question of why, it's a question of if you love me.
I hope someone doesn't need it, you know? These things can mean life and death in places like this.
And of course you don't love me. I mean, why would you? I'm fucking pathetic. I'm weak-willed, I'm selfish, I like attention. Not just the attention of other women, but of fame and money.
Maybe someone left it here on purpose, you know? Why, though?
You're forgiving in your own way, and you're a realist, too. So maybe, I don't know, there's a scenario where, in despite of all that, you could still love me. But you don't.
Maybe they need to dig up something.
Well, the reason you don't love me is because you are afraid of me, isn't it? What are you doing? What are you digging for?
I don't know yet.
Then stop.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for her.
But you don't even know what happened to her.
Tell me then.
No. Fuck this.
Fuck what?
Fuck this. All of this. This psychological torture that you're putting me through.
Psychological torture. Oh, dramatic much.
Don't you dare fucking laugh at me.
I'm not laughing anymore.
I'm not a good person. I get that, okay? But you are not a good person either. You are so afraid of me leaving you that you threaten to destroy me if I dare even think about it. My livelihood, my reputation, my sanity.
I'm a monster. And I deserve what's coming to me. Don't I?
I didn't say that. Lee, I didn't say that.
I can't stop.
Why not?
Because I know what I'm digging for now. Her grave, isn't it? Kim's grave?
Jesus Christ, do you have to do some more?
Tell me how it ends.
How what ends? Us? Kim's story?
I don't know. I guess both. They're the same, really, aren't they? I want to hear what you think happened to Kim.
What I think happened is... Kim grew up to be an intelligent, accomplished, and very attractive woman. She distanced herself from her family and old friends, keen to move on from the macabre rumors that had haunted her since childhood. In fact, the only one who Kim entrusted the story of her past with in her new life, in her perfect new life, was her husband.
The man she loved.
So perfect and serene was Kim's new life that it was truly shocking when she went missing for the second time.
On a luxurious ski holiday in Val d'Isère.
The last person to see her alive was a lift employee. She was in a panic to grab the last gondola up the mountain.
To go to her husband.
He raised the alarm. Not immediately. He'd come in from the day skiing earlier than her. So for the first hour, he assumed she was just enjoying the last of the ski day. After 3 hours, he knew something was very wrong. He called Mountain Rescue.
3 hours is a long time. Anything can happen in 3 hours.
It was assumed that she must have fallen down the side of the slope, that she would be found, hurt, but alive. But in reality, it's very easy to be hidden in a wintry jungle like this. Days passed, weeks, months. She was a ghost lost in the snow. Her past came out, of course, and other new secrets too. Doctor visits to treat paranoia, stress, depression. A picture started to form. No longer a romantic image of this woodland creature who survived and emerged from the wood, but instead, a woman who suffered from mental health issues and saw an opportunity to disappear into the wild, to finally escape all the stories around her.
Well, it is a good ending. Well done, Baz. A beautiful story that ends tragically. You were always so good at making a beautiful story. That's why I fell in love with you. But it's not true. Any of it. Is it?
No one knows the truth.
Kim was murdered. 1 year ago today in this spot, she was murdered. Yes, she may have been depressed or paranoid or anything, but she didn't kill herself. Your story had one correct fact. She did grab the last gondola up the mountain, but it wasn't to ski an extra run or grab a drink at a mountain restaurant. It was to go to the cabin to confront her husband about his affair.
No, that's wrong. You don't know.
She had been suspicious for weeks, and finally it had been confirmed through a multitude of emails on his phone. She had spotted them while they had been in the mountain together. She'd borrowed his phone to take a picture, to document what had been supposed to be a romantic trip together. She was devastated. But of course he refused to talk about it, skied off in a huff, saying that she didn't understand and they both needed to calm down. But calm, fucking calm, was the last thing on her mind. She arrived in the cabin only minutes after he did, and surprisingly a row ensued. The couple had had some nasty rows in the past, but nothing like this. Nothing as honest as this. It wasn't just an affair. The girl was pregnant.
What are you doing?
And then Kim saw it. She saw what her husband, her confidant, her everything had done. He had taken her as a broken, traumatized girl and formed her into something cold, something she didn't even recognize anymore. And the most horrifying thing is that he took her story. The trauma of that disappearance, the thing that had haunted her through her childhood and adulthood, and he turned it into a podcast.
No, that's not fair. You said you understood. I needed a good story. No one was listening. You said I could have your story.
You didn't even tell the truth.
You started the lie.
Kim had been just a girl. You know, a girl whose world collapsed the day she found out her own mother was having an affair. She tried to run away, steal money and disappear. And her loyal dog, her only friend, had tried to follow, but she knew she would have to leave him behind.
This isn't the right story.
And after sleeping rough for 2 days, she tried to hitchhike away from her hometown, but the man who picked her up, he... So she escaped from the car and she ran into the woods, back into the woods that were familiar to her. But she was convinced this man was following her, so she was running. And if he was or not, she'll never know, because Kim fell. She hit her head. And when the sun rose the next morning, she knew she had to go home. The world was too scary. I mean, so was the truth.
No, no one asked him to lie.
Her mother did. Her mother asked her to lie because she wanted to keep her family. And her husband did. Her husband asked her to lie because he needed people to listen.
I just wanted to make your story beautiful.
It was better that people believed Kim's story than knew the truth. That's what was most important to him. That's why he sent her that doll and that note. That's why he convinced her to attack the other student in the middle of the night. He told her that she needed to control the narrative, when actually it was him who was in control all along.
I didn't want you to be afraid anymore.
His success was all her story. The podcast was nothing before that. And he got what he wanted, you know. He had that now. He didn't need Kim anymore. He wanted to leave her. In fact, he tried to leave. After the affair had been revealed, he stormed out of their isolated B&B, which he booked into the darkening ice jungle. So she followed him. You know, there might have been a time when she wouldn't, but something had changed in that moment. Something had shifted. It was like the snow had melted and she could finally see the dead, ruined, rotting earth underneath.
Why are you doing this?
You are very good at telling a story, Baz. You always have been, but it was not your story. That was your mistake.
Sure, he was able to leave her. She couldn't stop that. To be honest, she wasn't even sure she wanted him to stay now. But she didn't want to lie anymore. It was time to tell the truth. That her mystery had never been a real mystery. She didn't forget any of it. And her husband's success was all based off a lie. A lie that he not only knew about, but encouraged and enabled. And when she told him that? That she was going to tell the truth? Well, he couldn't run away anymore, could he?
You threatened me. You threatened everything I had worked for.
And when he said that she started to laugh. I mean, of course she did. It was hilarious, really, to think it had taken her so long to realise the man who had controlled her, the man who had told her what to wear, what to say, what to eat, how much to drink. He actually depended upon her utterly and completely. He was nothing without her and her story. So she laughed and laughed.
Stop.
And laughed till she was practically hysterical. And for the first time in years, she wasn't afraid. Afraid of him. Afraid of him leaving her. Afraid that their relationship would end. She wasn't afraid. In the exact moment she really should have been. How fucking ironic is that?
I
have no words. Funny you didn't then either. You wanted the laughter to stop. You always despised when I laughed at you. That's when you saw the snow shovel. The thought came instantly, didn't it? Wouldn't it just be easier if the little lost girl just got lost again?
Lee?
I hate nicknames. I always thought they were lazy. You knew that, and yet you insisted on always calling me Lee or Kim. My name is Kimberly. You know that I get to leave this place, don't you? You may have killed me here and buried me underneath the earth and snow, but I get to leave. That grave isn't mine anymore. It's yours.
I'm still
alive. Is that what you call this?
I love you. I'm sorry. Please don't leave me.
Outbreak was written by Emily Gilmore Murphy and directed by Kieran Gallagher. Lee was performed by Marty Breen and Baz was performed by Sean Doyle. Supporting roles were performed by Oren McNulty, Joanna Kelly and Evie O'Brien. Script editing by Peter Dunn and sound design by Kieran Gallagher. The programme was produced by Emily Gilmore Murphy and made with the support of Commission Naman with the television licence fee. For more, see newstalk.com.